This is Renegade Broadcasting. Everybody, happy Friday, TGIF, as they say. Wow, as of today, we have exactly 1 week left of September. Unreal. A week from tomorrow, it's going to be October 1st. Jesus, Murphy. Anyway, picking up where we left off. Yesterday, let's see, where did we leave off? Oh yeah, monopolies as persons, as the new country grew, so did its institutions, trading companies, banks, and eventually railroads all used the corporate form to conduct business, reduce shareholder liability, and accumulate profits. Right from the word go, you could see people like Hamilton guys swooping down to do everything in his power, not only to create, what would eventually become a North American version of the Bank of England, but to consolidate corporate control. You can bet they had turning DC into a corporation in their sights from the word go. You know, that it had always served the East India Company so well to function that way, to have its own army and, you know, on and on, to protect its corporate interests. They had to do it slowly, though. They had to ease into it and subtly, not openly. You know, they couldn't make any move in that direction that would arouse public attention. They had to be very crafty, and they were. In fact, when they introduced the law of 1870, the Act of 1871, that was during Reconstruction, a time when nobody dared question Washington. Why? You must be a rebel from the South. Washington's preeminence was not to be questioned in that era. You see the point. You were for splitting up the Union. It was the perfect timing to pull off a scam like that, to turn D.C. into a corporation that would have sovereignty over the rest of the nation without saying it. You know, that's what they did. But again, they did it so subtle, virtually nobody saw through it. And for anyone who did, once again, they could easily demonize them and say that, you know, you're against the Union. We just fought a war to secure this, and now you're arguing against it, you know. Anyway, America boomed through the early 19th century, then experienced a severe economic depression in the decade just before the Civil War, then boomed again. Of course, war always brings economic boom, doesn't it? starting in the post-war years of the late 1860. It was another big, big boom. Again, because of all the fake, artificial economic stimulation that the war brought. Then a curious thing happened. The stage was set when, just after the Civil War, on July 9th, 1868, three quarters of the states ratified the 14th Amendment as part of a set of laws to end slavery. The intent of Congress and the states was clear, to provide full constitutional protections and due process of law to the now emancipated, former slaves. At least that was their goal on the surface, their alleged goal. The 14th Amendment's first article says in its entirety, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. Now, again, this all looked good on the surface, didn't it? Oh, yes. This was your freedom, justice, and liberty for all being fully played out here, right? But, of course, in reality, knowing that just a few years down the line, they were going to be, introducing the Act of 1871, turning D.C. into a corporation, blah, blah, blah. They knew that these rights, it was a facade. It might have meant something in 1868, but they knew a few years down the line it wasn't going to have any meaning. The meaning was only in the minds of the dupes who believed it. Again, just like the Bible. Oh, what a good analogy we have with the Bible. The good little dupes who show up every week and drop their money in the plate are misled to believe that this God called Yahweh is loving and wonderful. And as long as they have that idea in their head, everything was going to work just fine. The gears are going to keep turning because they greased up nicely. But in reality, that deity is a raging monstrosity from the pits of hell. But nobody ever takes the time, nobody even thinks to take the time, nobody even dares take the time to look into the matter to see if it's actually otherwise, because that would be blasphemy. So they go along with the rhetoric, not knowing or even caring or even having the courage enough to look into the matter to see that it's actually the very antithesis of what they've been told. The same with how, the courts work, how the legal system works. People are led to believe that it's all about protecting your rights and freedoms. And as long as they believe that, the gears are going to be greased, the machine's going to keep running, everyone's going to be happy because they think it works the way they've been told it works, not realizing it doesn't work that way at all. It just depends on you believing it works the way you've been told. So it is, again, with religion. God damn it, the analogy is astonishing, isn't it? As long as everybody believes what they want to believe, they're going to be happy, but never realizing it's not that way at all, at all. Only the hucksters at the highest levels know this. In law enforcement, in the courts, in Washington, and, of course, in besteepled corporations. Yes, they are corporations. And this is how they pull off the shit they do without a conscience, because they're told from the word go that their job as church employees, ministers, administrators, whatever, their job is to protect the interests of the corporation. This is why, once again, you know, I had this asshole minister one time approach me and tell me, "You have no right to receive money from the church if you're not going along with what the church teaches." I just looked at him and I said, "Whose money is it, buddy? Whose money?" But you see, that's how they're trained. They're trained that their duty is to support the fucking institution called the church, the corporation, the 501c3 tax-exempt corporation. This other minister, one time, didn't like it that I confronted him, you know, in front of the whole church. I knew what he was after. He showed up at this meeting. We never saw him prior to that. He never showed an interest in the church I was lay pastoring. He only came when he saw that, ooh, there's $4,000 worth of a fund that they were raising to build a, you know, their own church instead of renting the building that they were renting. When I decided to step down because I was going to college, you know, we had a meeting to decide, is the church going to go on, the branch church that I was pastoring, or are they going to close it? Well, they decided to close it. So he saw now that there's this fund that had accrued. Can't wait to get my hands on that. Never showed an interest before. Now suddenly he shows up. Anyway, to make a long story short, because I confronted him and said, excuse me, pastor, this money was donated by this congregation. These people need to decide what they want to have done with the money. Because he was saying, oh, well, it's the policy that when there's a situation like this, the money falls into the hands of the mother church that the branch church was operating under. You fucking little bastard. Never showed any concern before. We never heard from him. Never showed up. Nothing. Now that there's money involved, like a vulture, he swoops down to scoop it up. He had no fucking right to 1 cent of that money, that little bitch. Anyway, after the service, everybody's getting in the car, they're leaving. He grabs me on the steps. Nobody was around. So this was his perfect opportunity. Ah, I got him alone now. I'll fix your ass. That was his attitude, you know. How dare you confront me in front of the church like that? Make me look bad. He grabs me. Yeah, of course, he was very tall. You know, he's looking down his nose at me. And he says, let me tell you something. If you want to get a job working as a minister in this church, you need to realize that your responsibility is to uphold the policies of the church. And at the time, I'm thinking, what a prick. What a son of a bitch. He doesn't care about people's rights, the fact that it's their money. Well, looking back now, oh, he's a son of a bitch, all right. But I understand why he was doing it now. Because the way the whole system is set up, I mean, obviously, I knew he was an ass kisser, kissing up to his you know, bosses at the central office. But now I understand the legalities behind it. He was under a franchise legal obligation, ladies and gentlemen, to uphold the policies of his employing corporation. Oh, I sincerely hope that I have no listeners out there today who are a part of one of those enterprises. I'm sure that's not the case. But just in case there is, or in case there's a straggler listening, someone invited you over, get the fuck out of there as fast as you can. For that reason alone, forget that your religion is a raging piece of shit. It's a fraud. It's a fucking scam. And, you know, the God behind the whole thing is a monstrosity from hell. Forget all of that. Just the fact that these steepled corporations known as churches are just that, steepled fucking corporations. How could you possibly be allied with something like that once you understand what it is? Get the hell out of there. Being a corporation operating under the auspice of the IRS code, section 501c3, it's a branch of that bitch system. No wonder, ladies and gentlemen, this acquaintance of mine, you know, when I went to college, I won't say friend because none of those people were really friends. even though I might have thought them to be at the time. Nevertheless, you know, he got called in and raked over the coals because he had this girl speak about the New World Order before the whole college in one of the chapel, chapel sessions. You know, every morning you had to go to the freaking chapel. They would have this little mini sermonette thing. Anyway, she did a good job. She did a talk on the New World Order. Everybody loved it. They ate it up. They wanted more of it. Nope. They were furious that this guy picked her to talk about something like that. That pulpit is not the place for that. When in reality, if you're supposed to be, you know, a person who's concerned about last day events and the evils that are being unleashed on the world before the coming of Jesus, the pulpit is supposed to be the place for that, right? If things were being run the way people think they're supposed to be. But no, they said, no, the pulpit isn't the place for that. What they really meant was, and they couldn't word it that way, of course, but what they really meant was, we're a steepled corporation, we're a branch of the government, and you're not supposed to speak against the government of which we're a part. Why, we can lose our 501c3 tax-exempt status, and they can. They can. That's what the 501c3 code section of the IRS states, that you can lose your tax-exempt status under that code section if you should, you know, blah, blah, blah. One of the things, speak against the government and government policies. That's one of the stipulations. So, yes, that they don't allow stuff like that. Wow, man. So, again, if you're a part of one of those steeple corporations, why straddle the fence? Swing your other leg over the other side of the fence and, you know, get a yarmulke, show up at temple, or show up at your, you know, keep going to your steepled corporation church. It's the same thing. Really no difference. You're still worshiping the same God, reading the same book, and you still got your head up the same ass. So you might as well go to temple. Show up tomorrow. You're going on the wrong day. You need to go on Saturdays because that's the real Yahweh Shabbat. Anyway, let's see here. So along with the 13th Amendment, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude shall exist within the United States, says the 13th Amendment. And I love that, by the way. Involuntary servitude. This is the game they play. All that the 13th Amendment forbids is involuntary servitude. They can't stand over you with a whip and make you be their slave. But when you volunteer to be one, when you agree to be that person on that piece of paper whose name is written in capital letters, when you agree to be that corporate entity, you are volunteering to be a slave. So now they got you, don't they? And legally they can do it. You can even, they can even say that you're a slave. They won't because, you know, that would make it too obvious. And the gig would be up. But they could actually come out and laugh at you and say, of course you're a slave. You've always been. You stupid suckers. And they could get away with it because you have, without even knowing it, but you have in fact, not you, my listeners, but, you know, people in general have in fact volunteered to be their slaves. That's more fun for them, isn't it? Of course. Oh, they would love to be able to crack the whip, but actually this is more enjoyable to them. To have you, you know, the end result is still the same. You're still their slave, but you don't know it. And you're much less likely to ever rise up. In fact, you will probably never rise up. Not you, my listeners. You know. People will never rise up as a whole. You know, the masses will never rise up because they're led to believe that they live in a free country. Proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. Yeah, right. Tell me another one. Again, guys, it's like Bible dupes. Oh, blissfully skipping and jumping their way through life. Whee! Yahweh loves me and I love him. Makes you want to sing the Barney song, doesn't it? I love you, you love me. Holy shit. Wow, do we have some dumb fuckers out there, don't we? They fall for the rhetorical bullshit from their ministers, from their government, from their academic leaders, on and on and on. Jesus, God damn. As long as you believe the bullshit, as long as you're hopping and skipping through life with that gleeful yet incredibly, phenomenally ignorant smile on your face, everything works just fine. They get off on it, guys. They love it. They love it that they have the masses completely and thoroughly duped with their bullshit. The whole thing, their entire little house of cards that they built, so fragile that a mere sneeze will knock it down to the ground, and yet it remains sturdy as a solid steel structure. As long as people believe the bullshit, as long as they don't pull away the curtain to see it's nothing but a crinkled up old ball sack pulling strings, as long as they don't do that, the lie marches on, and it will never fall, even though it's a fragile structure built on nothing but a foundation of lies. It will never fall. The dupes that fall for the lies will ensure that themselves. They've known this all along, and that's why all through the centuries, the masses have always been incredibly dumbasses and always been slaves, whether they knew it or not, always been suckers for bullshit, always been misled like a horse with a bit in its mouth, and been made to go wherever the master pulls the reins. It's always been this way, guys, and there's no reason to believe because of that, that it's ever going to be any different. Isn't that disgusting? Thousands of years of this shit has gone on, and there's no indication in sight that it's ever going to change. It's only going to change for us individuals who have a fucking brain and know how to use it. But anyway, look at the wording here. Oh, Jesus Christ. Look at the wording of the 13th Amendment. Most people get all so wet in their little panties when they read things like this. Oh, isn't that wonderful? See what a great country we are? This country forbids slavery. Oh, we started off on the wrong foot, all right, but we got it right now. The right of citizens of the United States to be free from involuntary servitude. What in the hell? Stop and think about it. It only says involuntary. In other words, by implication, but nobody stops to think of this, it totally endorses voluntary servitude. Why, if you're stupid enough to fall for our bullshit propaganda, well, that's your problem. That's what the 13th Amendment says. It's brilliant, isn't it? What a strategy. It's absolutely fucking brilliant. You got to give them credit. Hey, all right, good fucking job. Good fucking job. If you don't have a conscience, ladies and gentlemen, there's all kinds of ways to be successful in this world. You can manipulate people till the cows come home. Like sheep, you can get them one after the other to walk right off the edge of the fucking cliff. And just like dumbass sheep, not one will stop to ever ask what happened to Bill, Phil, and John. People are goddamn stupid. Just like sheep. They'll go right off the edge of the cliff. If you don't have a conscience, oh, the fun you can have, the fun that this system has that we're under, manipulating them till no end with no conscience, because everything is done in the name of the corporation. The people who run these corporations, the ones that have the hook noses, They have no semblance of humanity, ladies and gentlemen, just like the corporations that they serve, be they the government or an actual business enterprise, whatever. A business has no feeling, right? They're not human, and neither do they have any feelings because they're not human. They're not human beings. They look like human beings. They sound like human beings, but they're not. They are corporations embodied in a human form. But they are nothing but cold, exacting, only concerned with the bottom line, the profit margin. Corporations, that's all they are. They think and act only in accord with what will advance the interests of the corporation, with no concern whatsoever for the cost in money or in suffering or in people's lives of what will result from decisions that they make. They don't give a shit. It doesn't enter at all into their calculations. Heartless pieces of shit. Just like that minister.
Your job is to uphold the policies of the church.
Of the corporation. That's why these corporations, ladies and gentlemen, sell you out to the NSA, pollute the environment constantly by dumping massive amounts of poisons into the air, into the ground, into the water. They've always done it, and they still do. Oh, they got to be more subtle about it now because public attention has been drawn to it, but they still freaking do it with full knowledge of the corporation known as Washington, D.C. As long as you're well-connected with them, they don't give a shit. They're not going to go after you. They only go after the little minions that aren't connected with them just to give the illusion that they're actually there upholding the law, protecting the environment. Look at how protective of the environment the EPA was when the poor bastards cleaning up Ground Zero were breathing in all those deadly toxins, and now most have died from fucking cancer, right? Oh, yeah, they're really concerned about protecting the environment. God damn it, America, get your head the fuck out of your ass. Look what you're dealing with here. They not only don't give a shit, they're monstrously evil fucking pricks. They're criminal monstrosities from the pits of hell. Oh, yes, and that includes your ministers out there, most of them anyway. You'd be hard-pressed today to find one that actually is decent and has a conscience and actually believes the bullshit that he's fooling you with. Most of them know full well it's bullshit. Their allegiance, their loyalties are with the corporation that employs them. And you know what? Unfortunately, a good many of the ministers out there, the few that there are, but I guarantee you most of them, even though they are decent right now, should they find out one day that their Steeple Corporation is a raging piece of shit, you know what's going to happen with most of them most of the time, ladies and gentlemen? They're going to become a piece of shit themselves in order to keep their jobs. They're not going to leave the thing. They're not going to expose it. No, they're going to stay in it. And at first, they're going to try to reason out, well, because they know that they're not going to find a job anywhere else, right? They might lose their home. Their marriage might fall apart. They're going to rationalize that, well, maybe God still wants me to stay in this system and still minister to people, and so I'll just keep my mouth shut. But over time, guys, it's going to ruin their conscience, and they're going to become the very pricks that run the system. That, you know, it's going to make them one of them. Most of the time. All right, guys, short break, right back.
You're not always at your computer, but that doesn't mean you need to stop listening to Renegade Broadcasting. A good way to catch our shows while you're on the go is by finding us on TuneIn Radio. There is an app for your iPhone or Android. TuneIn.com. There are also plenty of other ways to access the 24/7 stream right on the homepage at RenegadeBroadcasting.com. And that first button underneath the player is a direct link to our page on TuneIn Radio. Please remember to follow us and share with your friends.
Yes, Led Zeppelin. I wonder how many brain cells I lost getting high listening to that song years ago. Back in my teen days. I don't like their bullshit Kabbalistic occult indulgences, which we'll be talking about on a future show. But did love their music, still do. Anyway, I got a call on the line. I think it's, is that you, Sean?
Hey, Charles, it's Wayne.
Oh, hey, how's it going, man?
Hey, mate. Yeah, I was just saying, like, what you were talking about, everything, they're coming at us from every angle possible. That's the problem.
Oh, yeah.
It's not only one. Like,
I thought you were Sean because of the exchange. It's an Australian number. That's why I got the... But, yeah, this show is the natural follow-up to the one I just did on maritime law because it's all part of the same thing. And of course, now that I have the universal commercial code, that's all a part of this too. It's just layer upon layer of bullshit. And I was talking to my brother about this yesterday. You know, he was eating it up. He's like, "Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah." You know, he knows the system is a complete scam too.
Yeah.
But he wasn't aware of the maritime law bullshit and the fringe around the flag. You know, all this stuff has meaning. That people just bat an eyelash. They don't bat an eyelash. They don't even take notice. Anyway, sorry, man. Go ahead.
No, that's right. No, exactly. It's like everything in every way. It's like.
Do they do the same thing, by the way, in Australian courts? Do they take the Australian flag and put the little fringe around it, or something equivalent to that?
I haven't noticed, mate. I haven't noticed at all.
I'm sure they do.
I'm not sure. It probably is. It's all on the maritime law under a certain degree that you are above sea level.
Yeah.
You're under maritime law. Yeah.
Everywhere with the tribe goes, they leave the same piss stains everywhere. So I'm sure they got some equivalent.
Yeah, I know. It's like, but it's not only that. It's like they've got the Monsanto foods. They're bombarding us through junk foods, TV.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it in my next. I'll do a little bit of a broadcast here and there. I haven't done one for ages. I'm going to do one. I'm going to smash the shit out of a TV to bring a point in my next episode. Because I do video ones. So I'm just going to fucking bring up a big axe and just smash the shit out of a TV as a point of view because that has just influenced people so much. Like, the young kids don't realize they go through these innocent little children, like, say, Miley Virus, and then she's, I'm real innocent, and then she turns into this major slut. And then you get, it's like even, and anything you can see, even the Beatles, they come out innocent, and then they just turned everything around the Vietnam War. They just went into drugs and stuff like that, you know, Hinduism or whatever it was that they were into. They're all ops, that everything is a psyop to change society. And look at now with the black freaking freak show with the white woman, you know. It's all...
Yeah.
Everything is completely turning society into the way that they want, complete degeneracy. And it sickens the shit out of me. And I tell children around me, you know, birds of a feather should flock together because, you know, that's the way it is, you know. It's not natural for people to be like that, as far as I'm concerned. If you are, you know, if you found a certain race in...
It's a game everybody loses, actually, you know. They're destroying all cultures everywhere they go. They're doing this.
Right. So they're absolutely bombarding in every avenue, from the pharmaceutical to that. And the thing that really, really bothers me is that the nuclear plants that are around the world are on such bad spots that they could ever put them. It's like someone's deliberately tampering with the system of Earth, like, to put these things there in place. It's virtually like an alien race, or these people, the hook noses that are actually a plan to... Everything is unnatural. Everything is completely unnatural to them. So they want Monsanto foods, they want filthy foods in their... Yeah, they want filth on the TV. Everything is to a complete degeneracy.
And getting us from every angle, every conceivable angle. Yeah. It's a thorough job they're doing.
Yeah, unnatural, unnature, and degenerate.
And all the while, almost nobody sees what's happening. That's the ultimate boost for them, you know. They love that they can do this. Yeah, right under people's noses and nobody sees it.
Yeah, it's a balding frog.
Yeah.
Like I was saying with, like, say, the Beatles, nice clean cut, nice music. Well, to certain people, it was actually, the music was even produced to be a perverted way. And same, I just heard another one about the Monkees and stuff like that recently. Like, it was just broadcast. Yeah, exactly. They'll bring certain tunes and certain personas on people. And then, oh, look, we'll go with this. And then all of a sudden they're drug addicts and bloody, you know, doing this and that. So it's even with the people with little children should be looking at these people when their child's dancing to Miley Cyrus. It's like, look out, because in another couple of years, she's going to be a little whore. And sure enough, she turned out to be a little whore. Yeah, even the boy group. And, yeah, you know, they're all turning out to be junkies and drug addicts on stage with freaking, who knows what, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, producing these sort of things. So yeah, they just come out every single damn, you know, angle they can. So,
And it's no wonder when you start looking into the whole music scene, there is, amongst other things, you know, all the perversity, the filth and everything. There's also the intelligence factor. A lot of them are, you know, have parents that were in the military or in the CIA or holy gee. Well, no wonder.
Yeah. 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 It goes all the way, even like, you know, Jimmy Page and all that with their music. You really listen to it now and you just see the, you know, the subliminals that are in there about certain things, Freemasonry and, Crowley and all that sort of stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's all degenerate. Well, the whole lot is all degenerate. Yeah, I used to like
I'm going to be doing some interesting shows on that coming up. There's quite a few, actually.
You have done a little bit about Crowley and.
Oh yeah, yeah. I covered some of it, but I'm going to be going into it in a lot more detail. Very interesting stuff. Yep.
Yeah.
But interesting, but disgusting.
Doesn't matter what angle you look at.
What's that?
And it never ends, no matter what angle you
look at. Oh, yeah, I know. It's a bottomless pit, yeah.
They're coming at us, and then here we are trying to do something. Like, I'd stand up in a resistance group, so to speak, a drop of the hat. But then again, you've got so many infiltrators now that are coming into things that are hard to really join or be with a certain group without being suspicious and... you know, like the corruption that's coming into it all. It's it's really hard, you know, to stand up with people because they've got it so embedded in everything and so many trolls out there. Even in the truth movement, there's so many trolls out there. You just, 90% truth and 5% crap.
Right.
Or 5% crap and 90% truth. You know,
gotta be on your guard constantly. Yeah.
Yeah. But some of them have got some really good stuff. That's the problem too. You know, you're like you're saying, the Alex Joneses.
You know, yeah. You got to really good... know how to pick and choose. Yeah. I would never tell somebody, don't bother with Alex Jones. No, he's got good stuff. Yeah. So does Monkey Boy Mike Rivero, too. He's got good stuff on what really happened, if you look through his archives.
Definitely.
But just don't take the person themselves to heart, that's all.
Yeah, and some people you got to give a little bit of leeway because they haven't reached that J issue. They just haven't reached to that stage. They're still maturing, you know.
Right.
So, but some of them you can obviously tell they're avoiding that. Like Alex Jones, for instance, he's just completely avoiding the J word. That's it.
Right.
There's no doubt about
that. But the sad thing is, though, is, and this is what they how they plan it, a lot of people will never advance beyond the Alex Joneses or the Mike Riveros because they look to these people as icons, as heroes, and they'll never step one inch beyond where they take them. You know, that's tragic, but that is how it works.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, that's the thing. You've got to sort out where you are, and with us that know better, of course, we can see the bullshit, but they can't. But at the moment, they're like, wow, this is like a guru or someone that's telling the truth, where they're not seeing the full picture. That's the thing, you know. But they're getting there. Well, I mean, like, we were there, you know. Same religion, like I got to the point that it was religion itself that was bullshit, the religious beliefs, but then not the Bible. But then, like yourself, I seen shit. It's not just the religious organizations; it's the Bible itself, and that is like boom. Then it all goes from there.
You know what's trickiest about this most? You know, as you become aware of how the world works. The hardest thing about this, for me anyway, is keeping your humility, because when the elites look at the masses, they see them as exploitable idiots, you know, dumbass sheep, and take advantage of their ignorance and the fact that they've got them so fooled, they get off on it. Now, for me, not that I'm looking to do that, but it's hard for me to remain humble because as time goes on, I get so frustrated with ignorant people. I just tend to look at them and see a fucking donkey's head, you know, when I look at most people. But that can go to your head, you know, it can get you to think that, you know, I don't think that I'm better than them, but it can lead to that. So I have to constantly remind myself, you know, try to keep humble and not look down my nose too much, you know, or not look down my nose at all, I should say. But when I get frustrated with them, that kind of does... get in there sometimes. You got to remain humble. Feel bad for these people, actually.
Well, like you're saying about the neurons and the transmitters in the brain, there's some people are well gone. I've got a brother that's on Medicaid, been on antidepressants for years. His brain will never come back.
Yeah.
He's been on it for 15 years. You know?
Oh, geez.
He'll never be the same person.
Yeah.
That I used to kick around. And
not only his brain, but his liver, kidneys, they must be shot too. Yeah,
but he's completely gone. But unfortunately, he can't see that. He just thinks, you know, oh, these are helping me. I'm on a new drug. These are helping me. Nah, mate, like, you're gone, and I can't tell him that. But it's just really sad. It's the same thing. He's a brain lobotomy.
Yeah.
And
without the scalpel,
That's what Christianity and the Santa Claus belief sort of creates. It's a brain lobotomy where, like you were saying, your neuron transmitters, they're going to a different place. And people like us, I come out about the same time as yourself, and I was very into and very knowledgeable where I was with the scriptures.
Right.
I've spoken to you before, and yeah, you get to that point where it's amazing. You look back and think, shit,
what actually kicked that off that I actually come out of that, you know?
Yeah, right, right.
Mine was a bit similar to you, you know, like you start seeing the corruption in the churches and you don't look at the Bible itself. But then when you start saying, that's where I come in. Actually, Paul, the conflicts between Paul really opened my mind. Did Paul do that to you?
Yeah.
Like against the Sabbath and against the law and all that sort of thing. That was a sort of a sniff to me, like, hey, shit, something's going on wrong here. And especially when, you know, he was going against all this and then getting kicked out of the congregation when he was at the Sabbath or whatever at the synagogue. I was like, hey, something's not right here. And then, shit, it's the Bible itself. That really blew my mind. I was like, whoa, I wasn't looking at the Bible at all. I was looking at, you know, getting out of the system of the churches, and then bang, shit, the whole Bible.
Same with me. And, you know, even though it took a good many years to do it, it's probably good that it happened the way it did for me, and I'm sure for most people. You can't all at once see the whole light. You just can't. It's too shocking to discover that not only is your church a fraud, but the Bible too. Oh, no, you have to gradually. I'm glad it worked that way because, I was so inundated in it.
Yeah, I'm the same, exactly. It's the only way I probably would have come out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the corruption of the churches and then realizing that there's a remnant. And then I thought, okay, I'm out of the churches now. I'm just this little remnant.
Yeah.
And then I go, oh, shit, actually, let's critique the Bible. And then you go, oh, well, there you go, it's all over.
And so this is what goes on with people in general when it comes to the government, you know, or believing the legal system that it's all above board, or, you know, all legitimate. Most people, you're never going to reach them because the deceptions are too deeply ingrained in their head. They're trained to look at it one way when it's really another, and you can't get them to do it. They're like babies sucking on a pacifier. Try to take that pacifier away. That baby is going to freak out, and you can't reason with a baby, right? Babies don't understand. That's how adults are. They don't understand. They really don't. They're not even capable any more than a baby is, most of them.
Well, you can't blame people with the court system because it is an intimidating system.
Yeah.
Like, you know, even with what you were saying about the court system and what I know about the court system, it's still a very intimidating system.
Edumacated people are the hardest to reach. Even this, you know, I'm talking the sincere ones now that really believe it's the truth, because they'll get insulted. Who are you? To what kind of education degree do you have? You know, that's the kind of attitude they'll have. How dare you question me? I have a PhD, in law.
Yeah, well, they're the worst to really reach in some regards, because they've already even some of them fully believe in the system that they're in anyway, so that they're not talking from arrogance. Some of them, they're actually talking from, I'm learned in the system, but they don't see the other side of the system that is, you know, that can put you out of it, like the capitalists and stuff like that. They just see it, okay, from the capital side, so they're not actually seeing from the person side, from the sovereign side. They're seeing it from the capital side. So, of course, to them, when you talk to them, it's in a different language, which makes sense why they're ignorant to that system.
Yeah.
They're bored up and taught. Well, how does anything go on for thousands of generations, like thousands of years? How have people, or even just a couple of hundred years, since the pirate system of going to the dock and going to the, like I said the other night about... the Saturn influence as well, during the Saturn, with Judaism, you know, being the Sabbath, and to do with the black that they wear is all to do with Saturn. All that has to do with going in a maritime system. It's all the dark, everything, the whole lot.
So, but it's
pretty
sad when...
I'm going to get going.
Oh, okay, buddy. Yeah. Hey, thanks for the call. Great stuff.
I'm starting to rave on a bit. Okay, mate. Have a good rest of the show.
Yeah, thanks, man. Take care.
Okay, no worries, Charles. See ya.
Yeah. Bye. Yeah, the Dark Ages, folks. I love that one. You know, people think that they're so much better informed, and that we progress so far beyond where we were in the past. It's been one constant upward trek. You know, we're ever reaching for perfection, and we're almost there now. We're certainly far closer to it than we were back in the dark ages. Are you shitting me? No, we haven't made one step forward. In many ways, we've actually fallen backward. But anyway, back to the notes here. As I was saying, along with the 13th Amendment, which says neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, involuntary, shall exist within the United States, and the 15th Amendment, which says the right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude, or whether or not they're legal citizens. I might as well throw that in there. But anyway, in addition to that, the 14th Amendment guaranteed that free slaves would have full access to legal due process, equal protection of the laws. Again, it all sounded good, didn't it? But what did it actually mean? Oh, I'm sure some of the people involved in creating these amendments had the best intentions, no doubt. And that's good. They love that. They love when there's someone who's sincere, who actually believes the rhetoric. They love when they have people like that because, you know, people will more likely support it and will fall for it. Just like ministers, they love it when you fall for the same rhetoric that you're feeding your congregation. They love that because you can't fake sincerity. Oh, there's some people that can do a somewhat good job at it. But, you know, people who are really observant will never fall for fake sincerity. They'll always see through it. But when you can have genuine sincerity added to bullshit rhetoric that you want to feed people with, they love that. So, yes, they'll allow you into the ministry if you're not a major ass kisser. And, you know, as long as you sincerely believe the bullshit you're selling people, they prefer that kind, actually. Just as dumb as the people that you're fooling, great, we'll give you a job. Just make sure you maintain your stupidity. Make sure you're still, you know, in line with what we're telling you. The minute you step out, well, we'll show you the way to the unemployment line. But, you know, they love to get that sincerity factor in there. And so I'm sure when these amendments were written, some of the people, anyway, probably had sincere aspirations, blah, blah, blah. But the string pullers at the top knew where this was going just 3 years later, after the 14th Amendment was added. There they were pushing, you know, the Act of 1871, creating this corporation called Washington, D.C., that was going to make everybody their minions under admiralty law through voluntary servitude, which doesn't fall under the condemnation of the 13th Amendment, which only forbids involuntary servitude. You got to love it. But there was something else that came down the pike not long after that. Creating corporate personhood. So let's see how that played out. During this same period, because everybody understood Paine and Jefferson's argument that human-made institutions must be subordinate to humans themselves, virtually every state had laws on the books that regulated the behavior of corporations. The corporate form is, after all, just a legal structure to facilitate the conversion of products or services into cash for stockholders. So corporations were working to fix that problem so that they didn't come under the condemnations or the restrictions of these regulations as corporations. Their way around that was to turn themselves into persons. So now they don't fall under the jurisdiction of these corporate regulations, right? Except those that weren't in the know at lower levels of the ladder, who were actually threats to them, you know, competitive threats. We'll have it apply to them. They're not part of the inside clique. But for us, big corporations, this was all done, you know, behind closed doors without smaller corporations being made privy to it. But you got to love it, guys. This is how the big corporations, the big Juran corporations, got around this. Passing laws to restrict, not on a federal level, it wasn't included in the Bill of Rights like Jefferson had wanted, but there were still states, individual states that passed laws to restrict their power. So that's how they got around it. Okay, you want to restrict corporations? Our corporations aren't going to be corporations anymore. In the meantime, you, as natural human beings, persons, who are supposed to have guaranteed rights to them in the Constitution, we're going to make sure that in the court, you're not considered a person. We just aren't going to tell you that. Or we'll have you convinced that you as a person is defined as this person mentioned on this piece of paper, all in capital letters, in which case the word person now means a piece of corporate property. So if you say that you're a person, in their definition of the word person now, you're a corporate entity. And so you're not entitled to the rights you should have as a person, i.e. human being. Oh, guys, it's all a mind fuck. It's all a word game. Anyway, as Buckminster Fuller wrote in his brilliant essay, The Crunch of Giants, he said, quote, corporations are neither physical nor metaphysical phenomena. They are socioeconomic ploys. Ploys. Oh, yeah. The ploys are. Anyway, let's finish that before we get back.
Hello everyone, Kyle Hunt here, founder of Renegade Broadcasting. I hope you're enjoying all of the free content we have here. The reality is that it is free for you, but not free for us. Putting on all of these shows day after day, night after night, does take time and money. Sean Surplus is here with me for every show, working as our audio engineer to ensure high quality production. Why not help him out by sending him a donation? Click on his picture in the lineup to get to his archive page. Then click on the donate button. Your donations will help us to upgrade, expand, and keep pushing forward. Thank you for supporting Sean's hard work.
This is Renegade Broadcasting.
All right, guys, welcome back. Anyway, here's this quote again from Buckminster Fuller. He says, corporations are neither physical nor metaphysical phenomenon. They are socioeconomic ploys, legally enacted game playing, agreed upon only between overwhelmingly powerful socioeconomic individuals and by them, imposed upon human society and its all unwitting members. Oh, absolutely. Who could argue that assessment? That's exactly all they are and all they've ever been. Starting with the British East India Company and moving right on down the line. Artificial entities, ploys, legally enacted, game playing. Agreed upon only between overwhelmingly powerful socioeconomic individuals and by them imposed upon human society. This is why it says again in the 13th Amendment that involuntary servitude is forbidden. The implication is voluntary servitude is allowed. That's why they wrote it that way, ladies and gentlemen. It should state that both voluntary and involuntary are forbidden. Or involuntary and voluntary. Voluntary should be forbidden just as much as involuntary. It's still servitude, isn't it? And voluntary implies trickery, doesn't it? Deception. Because nobody would knowingly volunteer to be a fucking slave, right? Unless you're incredibly goddamn stupid. Nobody would volunteer to be a frickin' slave. But the way it's worded, it allows for voluntary servitude. And the only way to get that is to deceive people. So the 13th Amendment not only supports voluntary servitude, it supports the deception that goes along with voluntary servitude. You see how tricky these little bastards are? Oh, you've got to read what the law doesn't say as well as what it does. What it doesn't say is very revealing indeed. Anyway, so states made it illegal for corporations to participate in the political process. Politicians were doing the voters' business, supposedly, and corporations couldn't vote. So it didn't make sense that they should be allowed to try to influence votes. That's the way it was made to look on paper. The way the corporations got around all of that, of course, again, was to simply make themselves persons under the law. Anyway, states made it illegal, again, for corporations to lie about their products and required that their books and processes always be open and available to government regulators. States and the federal government claimed the right to inspect companies and investigate them when they, caused pollution, harmed workers, or created hazards for human communities, even if in the early years when, you know, things weren't quite so upheld as they were in later years. You know, corporations got away with a lot more when these laws were actually enacted, because there was a lot of laxity and there wasn't much public attention on the dangers of toxic dumpage. But nevertheless, you know, there was much more of a push on the part of individual states, anyway, to regulate these companies, at least on paper. The irony of it, there was more of a push then to do it on paper, but no action taken. Today, you hear about more actions being taken, but on paper, it doesn't play out that way, because it's, you know, the big corporations get away with it all the time. The only time you hear about something being done about pollution, and certainly there's a lot more awareness of it, right? People don't want it to happen. But the problem is they think it's not happening. It is. It's still happening. Jesus Christ, just look at the goddamn chemtrails, for Christ's sakes. It's still happening on a grand scale. But nobody knows it. Or the few that do, you know, they laugh at you. You're crazy conspiracy nuts. You gotta love it. That kind of toxicity is even worse than the local plants that would dump shit in the water supply or whatever, because, you know, only the local community was affected then. The poisons today that they're dumping in the environment are in the atmosphere, so that a far broader percentage of the population is affected now, isn't it? The pollution today is far worse, but all they have to do is get their little Muppet minions like Mike Ribeiro to say that it doesn't exist. They're not doing this. That, why, that's crazy. That's ridiculous. And so they get away with it, don't they? EPA, my ass. Oh, they're protecting somebody's environment, but not yours. Anyway, these constraints and oversights had been a thorn in the side of the barons of trade and industry from the earliest days of the new American Republic. But what to do about it? With the passage of the 14th Amendment, the owners of what were then America's largest and most powerful corporations, the railroads particularly, figured that they'd finally found a way to reverse Paine's logic and, or at least the way the public, you know, perceived it and wanted it upheld, and no longer have to answer to we the people. They would claim that the corporation is a person. They would claim that for legal purposes, the certificate of incorporation declares the legal birth of a new person who should therefore have full protections that the voters have under the Bill of Rights. Most Americans don't even know this, but corporations have been winning cases for over a century now. Well over a century, on the basis that they are persons. It was an amazing irony, given that one of Jefferson's original proposed amendments was an explicit ban on corporations becoming so large as to gain monopoly power and be able to easily crush or stifle small local entrepreneurs. This goes way beyond even that. Not only was that amendment not included, which would prevent monopoly powers, but to actually make them persons, so that once you see they are monopolies, technically you can't really do anything about it because they are persons that have protections. And yet all the while, you as a real person, a real human being, really don't have any rights because you're considered corporate property. Complete reversal. Isn't that the tribe's way of doing things? Always change the meaning of words so they wind up having the very opposite meaning of what the duped masses think they have. Again, the best example is the Great Yaya, right? Most people, when they think of that name, oh, they conjure up images of love and compassion and fairness and decency and justice. When in reality, that thing is the very opposite of all of those, isn't he? Isn't it? But anyway, setting the irony aside, the railroads threw massive resources into their new campaign to be given full human rights. Acting on behalf of the railroad barons, attorneys for the railroads repeatedly filed suits against local and state governments that had passed laws, you know, regulating railroad corporations, and other corporations followed later. But anyway, they rebelled against restrictions, and most of all, they rebelled against being taxed. Even when the fraudulent 16th Amendment was first passed, which didn't change a goddamn thing, it didn't give them any new power, but nevertheless, and the thing wasn't even ratified, it's a fraud across the board, but nevertheless, guys, it only applied to businesses, small ones, not the big ones, but it only applied to businesses. It didn't apply to citizens, and that's how they were able to get away with it. Nobody complained because people's incomes weren't being taxed right away. Their every intention was to just use it on people ultimately, and small businesses to continue to do that, to crush out competition. But they didn't impose it on citizens until later, and the way they did it was very crafty. They made it voluntary and intimidated those who didn't volunteer by calling them unpatriotic because the money was being used to support the war effort, the noble and worthy war effort. The victory tax, they called it, which, of course, they said they were going to remove after World War II. They never did they? It ultimately became compulsory. Even though, while yet calling it a voluntary tax system, Jesus Christ almighty. But do notice, that's what they call it. They call it voluntary because most people who pay it do so without protest. They just go along with it. But just try unvolunteering yourself and see what will happen. Doesn't matter that the system's a fraud. It's totally legal. They'll send the SWAT team to your door, won't they? They'll take your goddamn house. They'll arrest you for not voluntarily applying and acquiescing to this voluntary tax system. Voluntarily signing your W-4 form. Oh, shit, what a fucking scam, man. Oh, when I think about it, people struggling, barely getting by because their income is shit to begin with, but on top of getting shit pay with shit benefits from a shit company, they get the shit kicked out of them every payday because one third of the shit wages that they've earned with their blood, sweat, and tears gets sucked out of their check before they even see it, illegally. And yet Americans take pride in looking back at the American Revolution, when we stood up to tyranny and threw off the shackles of oppressive government that was taxing us. Holy Christ. Are you kidding? Like I said before, the whole American Revolution was a goddamn fucking fraud. You know, you got to swear. I'm sorry, folks. I'm just flying off the handle with the swearing today. But you do. You got to swear when you talk about this shit. I'm sorry. Shock talk is required in some cases. I'm not talking about the Howard Stern type of perverted shock talk. Shock talk that wakes people up from their apathy. Yeah, that's needed. You got to throw in some flavorful language that will shock people to get their attention. God damn it, man. This is a three-alarm fire here. This country is ablaze. And people are sound asleep. You can't wake them up. It's so goddamn frustrating. Look at the mess we're in. Look at this fraud that they've been perpetrating on us. Look how they have fucked us over so bad. Ruined our ability to earn a livable wage and survive in this fucking world. Look what they've done to us. They've destroyed our culture. The mass influx of illegals fucking everything up. But again, guys, I'm not even mad at the illegals. The ones you need to get mad at are the son of a bitches in Washington and their string pullers on Wall Street. They're the ones orchestrating all of this. They're the ones fucking us. Don't get mad at the illegal aliens. You'd do the same thing if you lived in a shithole third world country, which we're pretty much becoming now. But, you know, and another country opened its doors to you, you'd be flooding in there too, wouldn't you? You don't get mad at them. Get mad at these motherfuckers that have rigged this system the way they have. Get mad at them. Oh, man, this system sucks ass, doesn't it, ladies and gentlemen? Once you see it for what it is, if you don't get enraged, you're really not seeing it. Or you're just not human. And what amazes me is there's people out there, all too many, who don't care because it's not personally affecting them. They live in their cozy little bubble world with their rose-colored glasses. They're sitting on a big fat wad of cash, you know, probably never worked a day in their life. They're riding on daddy's coattails, whatever. And so they don't care. They actually don't care. Even if it's not affecting you, how could you not care seeing so many millions of your fellow human beings, although if you don't care, you're really not a fellow human being. But, you know, how can that not bother you? Seeing that these criminal bastards are getting away with this, fucking so many people over. And you know what? Even though it's not, quote, directly affecting you right now, it is affecting you. And ultimately, they're going to ruin the world for everybody unless you're part of their inside club, in which case you really don't care. You're part of the problem, and you need to be taken care of as much as them. But for those that aren't part of the inside club and just happen to be lucky enough to be sitting on Easy Street right now, oh, if you don't care today, you're going to care tomorrow when it's too late. So you better start caring now, because they're going to get to you eventually. They're going to fuck you too. They just haven't gotten to you yet. So not caring because it doesn't affect me now. Oh, you better start caring. But, you know, it is affecting you everywhere you go. Look at the, do you feel safe going out today? You could potentially get jumped, get mugged. Crime rates are going up, although they don't report half of it. They want to give the illusion that everything's fine and everything's running smoothly. No, it isn't. Although, I've said it before, I'll say it again, I'm surprised that the crime rate isn't higher than what it, you know, even for those of us that pay attention, a lot of stuff doesn't get reported in national news. It's only local. But I'm surprised it's not even worse than what it is, guys. I really am. I'm amazed. This system, as fucked up as it is, I'm amazed that people are en masse aren't going loopy and not that I'm for that, but I'm just amazed that people aren't going postal on a grand scale, that they have to fake so many shootings. I'm amazed that there aren't real shootings going on. Of course, shootings that involve going after the real bastards and not innocent people, real shootings, people just saying, all right, I've had it. I've heard of a couple over the years, one guy going into a former place he worked at and shooting his boss and a couple, co-workers. I don't condone that, but I can certainly relate to why people would do that. Yeah. I'm sure that asshole boss fucking deserved it. He got what was coming to him. I but again, I'm just amazed that you don't hear of this stuff more often, guys. I the way people are getting fucked over so bad, losing their jobs to illegal aliens coming over here, or you know, seeing their wages frozen with no raises for 3, 4, 5 years at a time, when the CEO is sitting high on, you know, up on Easy Street, having his income exponentially increase. I'm just amazed. Anyway, the main tool that the railroad lawyers tried to use was the fact that corporations had historically been referred to under law not as corporations, but as artificial persons. Based on this, they argued, corporations should be considered persons, not artificial, but natural persons under the Free the Slaves 14th Amendment, and enjoy the protections of the Constitution, just like living, breathing human persons. That was their logic. That's all we can get around this. And notice, once again, it was done during Reconstruction. Not only were people's attentions distracted trying to rebuild, but nobody dared question anything going on because they didn't want to be labeled as supporting the South. Why are you against the, you know, the security of the Union? Are you trying to break up the Union again? See the propaganda. They always do that. They always throw that bullshit. Just like when you, especially right after 9/11, you know, you talked about the fraudulence of the goddamn Afghan war, how they were planning to invade Afghanistan long before 9/11. And then, you know, a couple of years later, Iraq, the same thing. You were called unpatriotic. You don't support the troops. You son of a bitches. But anyway, using this argument for their base that corporations were natural persons, the railroads repeatedly sued various states, counties, and towns, claiming that they shouldn't have to pay local taxes because different railroad properties were taxed in different ways in different places, and this constituted the creation of different classes of persons and was thus illegal discrimination under the 14th Amendment. Can you imagine they were arguing this shit and getting away with it too? Freaking unbelievable, man. Anyway, as you might guess, at first they had a little difficulty selling this rhetoric to people openly, trying to declare themselves as corporations. The courts weren't buying it. We actually had some decent judges back then, and they kept throwing it out, laughingly so. But the relentless bastards continued to pursue this goal and ultimately pulled it off very clandestinely, as we'll see. Anyway, for almost 20 years, these arguments didn't succeed. But soon the tide began to turn. In 1873, the Supreme Court made its first explicit comment on the 14th Amendment. The amendment's one pervading purpose, Justice Samuel Miller wrote in the majority opinion, was, quote, the freedom of the slave race, the security and firm establishment of that freedom, and the protection of the newly made freedman and citizen from the oppression of those who had formerly exercised unlimited dominion over him. The railroads, however, had a lot of money to pay for lawyers, and railroad lawyer S.W. Sanderson, a tribe member, had the reputation of a pit bull. Undeterred, the railroads again and again argued their corporations are persons position, all the way to the Supreme Court. If at first you don't succeed, lie, lie again, was their tactic. And that's what they did. They were determined. They knew that this was their only way out. Their only way out of liabilities and responsibilities, you know, under these regulations. The only way out was to get away from the artificial personhood designation and become natural persons under the law. So they didn't stop. The peak year for their legal assault was 1877, with four different cases reaching the Supreme Court, which the railroads argued that governments could not, you know, regulate their fees or activities, or tax them in differing ways, because governments can't interfere to such an extent in the lives of persons, and because different laws and taxes in different states and counties represented, again, illegal discrimination against the persons of the railroads under the 14th Amendment. Unbelievable, as heinous as this was, the tide began to turn. But the real clincher came with the underhanded chicanery they pulled, so that they never actually had it declared openly that they were persons. It was all done clandestinely behind the scenes, and only those at the top of the ladder, the top-notch corporations, were in on the little scam. The little businesses were never told this, never knew, a great many still don't know. That's just how they wanted it. They wanted the personhood status only for the big multinationals and national corporations. Anyway, by then, the Supreme Court was under the supervision of Chief Justice Morris Remick Waite, himself a former railroad attorney. Oh, isn't that convenient? Anyway, Associate Justice Stephen Field, who was so openly on the side of the railroads, in case after case, you know, ruled in favor of railroads, that he annoyed his colleagues and had heavily influenced the court. In each of the previous four cases, the court ruled that the 14th Amendment was not intended to regulate interstate commerce and therefore was not applicable. But in none of those cases did Waite or any other justice on the court, you know, muster a majority opinion on the issue of whether or not railroad corporations were persons. That hadn't changed yet. They won victories in those four cases, but they still weren't declared persons. So that wasn't enough for them. They wanted to take this all the way. So Miller's one pervading purpose of the 14th Amendment to free slaves prevailed. And year after year, the railroads were told that they're not persons. Having lost actually, they did lose those four cases just because they weren't declared as persons. They got out of some of the, you know, the tax liabilities and whatnot, but they did get what they wanted, you know, become the person. So let's see how they were able to pull that off. Short break, guys. We'll be right back.
If you enjoy listening to Renegade Broadcasting, but are not also reading Renegade Tribune, you're missing out. We have some of the most insightful and hard-hitting authors from the past and present, covering some of the most taboo and controversial subjects. The Tribune is something you'll want to check out every single day. Perhaps you have what it takes to be an author. Sign up and submit your piece. Join us at RenegadeTribune.com.
Guys, welcome back. Already in the final segment here. Anyway, let's see now how the tide began to turn. For 20 years, corporate personhood was debated back and forth. Across America, politicians were elected repeatedly on platforms that included the regulation of corporations, particularly the railroads. But the legal fight continued. And in 1886, the railroad finally hit pay dirt. The Supreme Court ruled on an obscure taxation issue in the Santa Clara County versus the Union Pacific Railroad case. But the recorder of the court, a man named J.C. Bancroft Davis, himself formerly the president of a small railroad, and probably a tribe member at that, wrote into his personal commentary of the case, known as a headnote, that the Chief Justice had said that all the justices agreed that corporations are persons. Keep in mind, guys, this wasn't a legal document. It was just a stenographer's notes that he took. A stenographer who was, deeply in bed with the railroad system. So even though it's not a legal document and it was written by someone who had a skewed opinion on the matter, it doesn't matter. That has been used to create the illusion that corporations were declared as persons. He said resulted from this trial, that it was declared by a federal judge that corporations were persons. The judge never said it. It's not recorded anywhere in the court proceedings other than in this frickin' stenographer's notes. And guess what, though? Guess what? This stenographer's notes weren't used yet in court as a legal basis for their phony claim that corporations were persons until after that judge died, within about, a year or two or something. The judge passed away. And then now that, they come out with the stenographer's notes. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? They probably killed the goddamn judge. Who knows? But in any case, waited until after he was dead. And then, because of course, if he was still alive, he would be able to confirm that. No, I never said that. But it doesn't matter because it's not in the court records anyway. In so doing, this stenographer, not the Supreme Court, but its clerical recorder, inserted a statement that changed history and gave corporations enormous powers that were not granted by Congress, not granted by the voters, and not even granted by the Supreme Court. Unbelievable, guys. Davis's head note, which had no legal standing whatsoever, was taken as precedent by generations of jurists, including the Supreme Court, who followed, and apparently read only the head note, but not the decision itself. That's it. Again, it's like saying that the 16th Amendment justifies the income tax. No, it doesn't, God damn it. No, it says nothing, nothing, nothing. But like I said, guys, the Constitution itself says Congress shall have power, you know, blah, 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 to impose taxes. It doesn't say what kind it can or can't. It just says power to impose taxes. You know, there's people who can argue that, oh, I can use different sections of the Constitution to prove it. Guys, it's written so obscurely. They did it on purpose. It can be interpreted any way you want. But the reality is the 16th Amendment didn't do shit. It wasn't even ratified. And so that's my point here with this. This stenographer's notes aren't legal. It's not a legal document. They're not legally binding. But yet they use it as a precedent to give themselves legal status as corporations. It's all trickery, like everything else. Just like the 16th Amendment doesn't say a goddamn thing about picking your pocket every week and stealing your hard-earned cash, your property that you earned. It doesn't give them any power to do that. It's not even ratified properly. None of the states who ratified it did it properly. You know, get the two-part book called The Law That Never Was. Brilliant piece of work. It goes into the meticulous details of how they pulled that bullshit off. We should probably do a show on that sometime. But it really doesn't matter because you can blow the IRS out of the water using so many other arguments. But that is a good one right there because it is, in fact, the 16th Amendment they primarily base their argument on that they claim gives them jurisdiction over your friggin' paycheck. No, it doesn't. But anyway, what's especially ironic about this whole story is that Davis knew the court had not ruled on this issue. A handwritten note was found in the J.C. Bancroft Davis collection in the Library of Congress from Chief Justice Waite to reporter Davis explicitly stating, quote, "We did not meet the constitutional issues in the case." In other words, the court had decided the case on lesser grounds, which it always prefers to do when possible. So no statement was made declaring that corporations were persons according to the Constitution. No. No such statement was ever made. This bastard Davis knew this. He was lying. Yet Davis wrote that the constitutional issue of corporate personhood status had been decided, and his headnote was published the year Waite died. After, of course, Waite's death. It's been downhill ever since, guys. How many cases have been won? This is why you've had lawyers like Jerry Spence defending people against not just big government, but big business. That's what he specialized in. Defending people against abuses of big corporations, usually without charging them attorney fees. He did it because of this kind of bullshit. Defending real people against these fake people who claim to be real people and yet people who really are real people, losing against them in court time after time. But not with Spence. As far as I know, I don't think Spence ever lost a case, guys, if I remember right. Ever. I really need to get that guy on. Jeez, he's getting up there in age. Anyway, the railroads were persons, he wrote. In the headnote, implying that they were entitled, again, to the same rights as humans, human beings. And Davis attributed this new legal reality to Chief Justice Waite, He had specifically, in writing, disavowed it. Wait, Ed. Although that note didn't become public for over a frickin' 100 years later. But we now know that that's not what transpired. So corporations are still winning cases on the basis that they're persons, when it's now a known undeniable fact that the whole thing's a fraud. The head note, to begin with, isn't a legal document, number one. And number two, the bastard was lying in what he said in the head note. Can you believe this, guys? Like so much else in society, it's all a frickin' fragile house of cards, but it has the illusion of solidity because people are stupid. People are ignorant. People are mindless. They fall for the bullshit, and that's why their house of cards is as sturdy as a steel high-rise that isn't loaded up with explosives like the Twin Towers. As it turns out, Davis had financial ties with Union freaking Pacific Railroad. Oh, what a surprise. Another great irony of this event is that the Bill of Rights was designed, once again, you know, to protect human persons because of their vulnerability in relations with other human persons who may be much more powerful than they are. And yet, all the while, the tables have been turned the very opposite. And, of course, to make that situation even worse as time has gone on, they've made court fees so frickin' outrageously high, the average person can't even afford to take one of these persons, i.e. corporations, to court anyway. Look how rigged they've got it, guys. But it all looks good on paper because technically they can still say, well, if you feel that this, that, or the other corporation is screwing you over, you can just take them to court, right? The ability on paper is still there, but just try doing it. Just try doing it. Today we've reached a point where natural persons no longer have protections, whereas unnatural persons, corporations, do. Corporations have been winning court cases, again, on the basis of them being persons, guys, against real human persons who are genuinely entitled to constitutional protections, but get nowhere because they don't have the financial resources that these artificial entities calling themselves persons do have. What a frickin' scam. Only the illusion of legitimacy. But no legitimacy at all. What frickin' chicanery. All trickery. So like I said, you know, this is the perfect follow-up to the discussion we had on maritime admiralty law. It all ties in. It's all part of the same goddamn monkey rig bullshit system. Anyways, we got a caller on the line here. Welcome to the show, caller.
Well, hello, Charles.
What's happening, man?
Not a lot. I just wanted to tell you, I know you've been listening to the new addition to the network, Mr. Chris Dorsey. He touches on a lot of what you're talking about right now. Now, what you're talking about. About how we're, but we're just—I wouldn't even call us people. We're on paper. Now, whenever you get an order to go to court, what do they do? It's a summons. Like if you're summoning the dead, as if, in other words, you're just a spirit on paper, just one big
That's
nothing.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I mean, there really is an esoteric, a spiritual aspect to all this.
I never thought of that. It's all word games. They choose these words deliberately. It's not, you know, they don't just pull them out of a hat.
Oh no, they know exactly what they're doing. I mean, from subliminal messaging to tell you ahead of time, the first episode, believe it or not, I've ever heard you on, because I haven't been a listener of Renegade very long. I was led here by the grace of God, or by the grace of some higher power.
Whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, our God that has been leading us in the right direction, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
The Constitution Con. That was one of the best shows I've ever heard, because I said, by God, this guy's got it so right. We're just two dimensional creations on paper. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, God, like Chris Dorsey said, God creates man, and man creates government, and we're letting a two-dimensional creation rule over our lives. I mean, that's to say, if I was to create a chair, and who's to say that chair doesn't rule over my life?
I mean, that's what they've done. That's exactly what they've done.
Oh, yeah.
Animated inanimate objects and taken animate objects and made them inanimate. Like you said, dead. Yeah, summons. I like that. I got to remember that one. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and corporations, they're nothing but it's a structural source of evil is what I like to call it. It's not a person, you know, it's just a whole bunch of people hiding behind a two-dimensional creation.
Yeah.
Because you can't hold one person accountable for it. And I mean, I for God's sakes, I worked in the hospitality industry, and everybody's running around every day like a chicken with their head cut off, because it's big companies these days, nobody knows who they really answer to anymore. It's like a board of members that's almost fictional. Nobody can really seem to put their finger on. I mean, that's
compartmentalized. Yeah. Yep. That's all part of it too.
Yep. And I believe you can probably tell me better than me. How long has this country officially been a corporation? Wasn't it sometime after the war?
1871 is when they incorporated D.C., yeah.
Oh, so right in the, ever the, since then.
Reconstruction era, yeah. Perfect timing.
So we've been nothing but a business ever since then, and just dead entities on paper.
Yep. Yep. I mean, they were pulling shenanigans before that, of course, but that is when it really whipped into high gear. And officially, our courts have operated as sovereign entities of the corporation, so that when you step in that court, you're not under the Constitution or anything else that you think might be going on there. You're operating under a completely separate entity's laws that they just make up as they go along. You have no rights once you step into that courtroom. By submitting yourself to that system and agreeing that you're that entity on their piece of paper, which isn't you at all, you are willingly making yourself their slave. People don't realize, if you should win something in court, it's really flip of the coin luck, really, is what it is. It's not intended for you to win or gain any victories ever in those systems.
Exactly. You know,
in fact, really, the only time you'll win is if you're going against another artificial person, which is really a real human being, but against the corporation, you will never win, you know, unless you've got someone like Jerry Spence, but they'll make your life a living hell in other ways. They won't let you walk away totally scot-free.
Oh, no, especially with, see, around here, I live in, I live right outside of New Orleans, because we have, in Louisiana, we have parishes instead of county. I'm from St. Tammany Parish, and I know it's like this everywhere, but, you know, they call it St. Slammity Parish because they like to slam the book at you. Well, I heard a story of a fella that because we got real strict drunk driving laws, and he felt like as he was driving drunk, he pulled over on the side of the road and decided to go to actually sleep in the middle of a field. I don't know if it was public place he was in, but he decided to go sleep in the middle of the field and leave his car there. Of course, he didn't have his keys in the ignition. The cops woke him up the next day, and they tried to pin him with all sorts of odds. But it turns out he walked out of court without having to be charged with anything, you know, maybe pay a small fine. But then I also heard later on that they have gone back. The people who make our laws, whatever you want to call them, the legal counsel, had made it to where anytime that happens to anybody else, they will get charged with something. So they're always looking for loopholes in the law to close them up. Always. Here's a man realizing the error of his ways that, you know, I shouldn't be on the road. Maybe I should pull over and sleep in the field. And then the next thing you know, they find out they can't nail him on anything, and they make damn sure that if something like that ever happens again, that they will, because it is designed.
They should pat the guy in the back. Oh, I'm glad you pulled over. You're not endangering other people's lives. You know, now you can't even pull over to take a frickin' leak. They're going to slap you with, some sex offender charge or something. You've got to be shitting me.
And people wonder why we have so many laws on the books. And then you refer back to, I believe Nero once said, a Roman emperor, that when it comes to societies, the more numerous the laws, the more corrupt the society.
Yeah.
We're seeing now.
True. Yeah. Unbelievable, man.
Well, Charles, I'm on the road right now. I'm gonna let you get back to your show because I'm enjoying listening to you. I just thought you were touching on so much stuff I could relate to. I had to say something.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Appreciate the call, buddy.
All right, thank you, Charles.
All right, take care. Have a good weekend.
All right, yes, sir.
Oh yeah, folks, it's just oh boy, is it incredible. And it just gets worse the more you dig into it. You think got a full grasp on it. Oh my God. I remember years ago, I thought I had a full grasp on things when I first found out about the conspiracy for world government, you know. As time went on, oh man, I couldn't believe, Jesus, when I look back at all the things I found out. And of course, when I look ahead into the future, I wonder how much more am I going to find out? Every day, the more topics I look into, the more things I discover, it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. How much more is there to find out? I know there's a lot more, but I mean, am I going to be saying the same thing in another 10 years? Wow, I thought I had it figured out back in 2016. Holy shit. I'm sure I will. And that's what's so frickin' disgusting. That's what's so sad. As much as I found out, I probably haven't even scratched the surface yet. But at least I know enough now to say, and really mean it when I say it, that this world is one big fucking lie, folks. It is. It's one big fucking lie. And it's always been one big fucking lie. It's always been this way. It's just getting worse now than ever. Worse because, yeah, the lies are getting more, you know, outrageous. But worse also because most people don't see it. It's one thing if you're getting lied to and know it, like, you know, people who lived under the oppressive Soviet regime. Yeah, they were getting screwed, but at least they knew it. People knew their government was a fraud and despised the damn thing. But most people in this country love this system that's shoving a splintery 2x4 up their ass. They love it. They can't get enough of it. Can't you ram it any further than that? Oh, yeah, that's great. Keep it up. Don't use Vaseline. No. They love that 2x4. How about 4x8? Never mind, 2x8. Ah, Christ, though. But anyway, we only got a few more minutes left of the show. I'm not going to start a new topic now, especially with the weekend here. So I'll just ramble for the next few minutes here. But for the next topic, I chose kind of randomly. It doesn't really tie in with this necessarily, but I'm going to be talking about the Iran-Contra affair and Israel's role therein. Most people don't realize that not only did it play a role, it played the key role. In fact, there probably wouldn't have been an Iran-Contra affair at all. In fact, there wouldn't have been an Iran-Contra affair at all, except for Israel. They set the groundwork for it years in advance, and that's how it became possible to have such a thing, was because of the connections that they already had going with the Iranian government. Oh, is that an interesting story? So we'll get into that on Monday. And then after that, I might start this series I've been talking about on the occult. I don't know if I'm going to go through all of them all at once or you know, cover a few and then weeks or months down the line do a few more. I've got probably, I don't know, 7 or 8 sets of notes, but very interesting stuff. You know, stuff in Hollywood, stuff in, I'm going to be doing a series. I haven't put that together yet, but I'm going to be doing a series on music again, too. I've done many of those in the past already, but there's always more. And boy, am I finding out a lot more crazy, crazy stuff. So I'll be covering that. I also have a series coming up, I mentioned before, on La Catholica Church, one of my favorite institutions. A very lengthy series. Again, I don't know if I'm going to do them all at once, because that'll probably take, you know, 1.5 or 2 weeks worth of shows to cover the whole thing. But my God, man, guys, just when you think you've got that figured out, oh, keep digging. That son of a bitch is so fucking evil, man. Pure, unadulterated evil. Don't get me wrong. There's some decent local priests that aren't child molesters that really have a heart and care about people. Yes, I'm not denying that. And some nuns and whatever. And certainly, a good many Catholic people are decent people. No. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the system itself, the corporation. And is it ever a corporation? Headquartered over there in Rome. The most evil, detestable, abominable bitch of a system ever to curse the face of this planet, ladies and gentlemen. It is. It's the worst. Nobody, no institution can compete with it. So we got a series on that coming up, too. All right, guys, have a great weekend. We'll talk about Grand Contra Fair, the Israeli role therein. On Monday, we'll see you then. Take care.
Hi, my name's Shield Maiden. I'd like to talk to you about a serious problem plaguing the world today. It was something that I suffered from for years. I used to fantasize about shoving Jews back in the oven. I had dreams of creating lampshades, and for months I fought the urge to surround every Jewish name I saw with parentheses. But thanks to Anti-Semitox, I am now a happy little goyim slave again. Anti-Semitox helped me realize that Jews really are the chosen ones, and not the money-hungry evil parasites I thought they were. Stop being a free thinker and become another sheeple. Try Anti-Semitox today. Their white genocide agenda depends on it.